You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Conor McGregor! You gotta come back and fight somebody! I'll see you at the top!
Surprise, surprise, mother! The king is back!
Welcome back to another episode of Tough Hang. This week, I will be driving the show. No AK Lee. He is on vacation enjoying himself in beautiful Japan. Last week, I was sick, so I was out. Now AK's out, but have no fear. We're joined by our man, New York Rick. Joins the panel. Tough Hang. How we feeling, man?
Feeling great. Happy to hang with you on Tough Hang.
What's up, AK Lee? Look at this, man. We can't forget AK Lee. Got his lower third day.
There it is.
And as always, joined by our valiant producer, E. Casey Leiden.
That's me.
Look at him, man. He's looking fantastic. All right, so we're back. And boys, I know we started with the dog curse. That's what we thought it was. I think I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think it's the jersey curse, guys. I think I officially cursed Team McGregor. 0-7. Jason Knight goes in there, makes it look easy over Landon Quinones, gets the first round submission early, too. It wasn't even really a fight. And Team Chandler, 7-0. And next week, they are going to be up for a sweep. Y'all's reactions, Rick, what did you think of the fight? Was this your first episode of Tough this season?
Yeah, this is the first one this is the second one. I watched the debut episode and then I watched this one.
Welcome to the Thunderdome, baby. What'd you think?
I checked out after the first one. I thought it was interesting. There were some things in the episode that caught my eye. As far as the fight itself, like, I don't know much about Landon, but I do know about Hick Diaz, and that dude's a savage. It was a very typical Jason Knight fight. He's coming in, winging punches, throwing on the inside, just making it dirty. And then he's got the guard game. He's got the submissions off his back. Landon put himself in a bad spot. So not unexpected based on what I know of Jason Knight. 0-7 for Connor this season. It's getting rough sledding out there.
Casey, your thoughts? Your prediction coming to fruition. It's looking very real, like Chandler's going to get the sweep.
Yeah, I'm bummed you weren't here last week. Last week, I think, was like the episode, though.
Yes, I know. It's karma. This is how cursed this jersey is. Best episode I have to miss because I'm sick. I mean, it's the biggest bummer.
Yeah, I was bummed about that. But as far as this episode, I didn't know too much about Landon coming in, so it was... Well, okay, are we talking about the fight or the episode right now? What are we talking about?
Tell me what you thought of the fight. I mean,
the fight itself. The fight itself, I've always been high on Jason Knight. I thought he got released from the UFC a bit too early. But it was interesting, going back in the episode, him talking about he didn't really take his training or his life seriously enough as a professional fighter. That's why he thinks he got kicked out. But I've always felt Jason Knight was a quality UFC caliber featherweight who is coming up to a lightweight for this card, for this show. But it was like Eric said, kind of classic Jason Knight, kind of a hard throwing brawler on his feet. But what the episode didn't kind of point out at all is that he's actually a better grappler than a striker. And Landon did not know that. And when Landon got in some trouble, he took it to the ground and Jason Knight was like, cool. And it was shockingly fast ending. It was almost reminiscent of the very first episode with Roosevelt Roberts. Just like, all right, we're done.
I don't want to play that pessimist side, like where you start watching the clock and everything. But once we saw not just one, but two separate moments where we went into the doctor's office and like got the breakdown from the doctor and everything, I was like, all right, I'm not going to lie. This feels like they're trying to kill time. I already feel like this is sort of a mismatch for Jason Knight, especially like getting to hear him talk about he got the 350K bonuses. Then he started partying. He kind of fell off the rails. He lost four straight. He knows why he got cut. He feels like he stopped focusing on his craft and on his sport. And now it feels like he's really back. at that point, I have it written in my notes at about the 27 minute mark. I was like, Jason Knight is going to finish him in the first round. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. I mean, yeah. That was a Jason Knight fight, and you have to know better. You know, one of the things that was interesting to me was hearing Chandler say that he'd been in the gym with Landon, and Landon saying the same kind of in his, but not, they didn't do rounds together, but they've been in the gym together. I mean, that's a big benefit. If you've got a guy like Jason Knight who's got experience and been in the UFC, and you've also got somebody who kind of knows Landon's game a little bit, it's a bad recipe right there. It's a bad recipe.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that Landon had offered on multiple occasions to be Chandler's training partner for his camps as recently as the Poirier fight. So like when they were recording this in what, February, March, I mean, the Poirier fight was just a few months prior, and he had denied him being his training partner. That's kind of an interesting dynamic.
I also thought it was very interesting because, because like it's not like he's just a guy that shows up for night classes. Landon is a professional fighter with a good record. And to not even be allowed to train with Chandler for his fight, it was kind of surprising. I was like, I don't know if Chandler's just really picky on who he trains with, or he just thought, you know, there are levels to this. And
what Landon said, it sounded like it was like a levels thing. It sounded like he just wanted a little bit higher level work for those fights. But at the same time, you know, now it's his team's benefit to have a little bit of scouting on Landon.
I did. I'm always super sympathetic to the losing fighter, especially when they lose like that. When you lose a fight before the fight even really starts, before you get to show off anything, you just lose. I know Landon's not Jason Knight level, but oh man, I feel bad. After where he says he quit his job to make sure he can do
this
and train, I was like, oh man. I mean, he lives in kind of a frat house apartment with a bunch of bros, and like
Conor McGregor's crumpling him in sparring. Like, yeah. It was a rough episode for the boy.
Episode, yeah. But we got to meet Landon's mom, and that was nice and everything. So those are some interesting stories, but it just made me feel worse when Landon lost. So
I'm 100%
with you. It was an embarrassing loss. I'll just say that. It was an embarrassing loss. Yeah. I mean, that's just how it is.
I liked meeting his mom. I loved the line, damn right, go kill him, my boy. That's a nice supportive mother right there as he heads off to Tough. But yeah, man, to hear afterward, you see the anger, you see the emotion after the loss, and then to hear that he also quit his job and to do all that. And then when the opportunity comes, it's over like that, and you're back at square A, if not even further back, because now you've had your opportunity and it failed. I really did feel for him.
For sure. But at the same time, like, I feel like that's kind of the conceit of the season, right? Is like there are certain guys that are prospects and there are certain guys that are veterans that have been in there and have kind of experienced this, and he'll be back. Like, I'm not concerned about his future prospects. I think this is the type of learning experience you can get. Sometimes this is happening on the regional scene and sometimes this is happening on the Ultimate Fighter. But he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He seems singularly focused. I'm pretty confident that this is not the end, that he'll learn a great deal from this and kind of rebound.
So we have to get into it because it feels like we're all under the same mindset, the same camp. As you can see there, the episode title, there are levels to this, and that feels apparently clear between the two teams. The levels are red Team Chandler and blue Team McGregor. So McGregor showing his frustration at the end of the episode, clearly like, accepting, man, we are 0-7 and realizing we are on the cusp of being swept. He goes over to Dana and his team and asks, like, what happens if there's a sweep? And they both kind of look at him dumbfounded and they're like, we don't know. This has never happened before. We have no idea. And one of them even offered up the idea, like, maybe a couple of the guys switch teams and like now they'll be Team McGregor for the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see what they do because I am firmly in the camp that they're about to get swept next week.
There's a lot of pressure on that final fight. There's a lot of pressure on the final Team McGregor fighter, because this could look potentially bad. I think we've seen some one-sided seasons before. Obviously, it sounds like we've never, and this is where AK's tough history would come in handy, but I don't think there's ever been a sweep, and it sounded like Dana didn't think so as well. But there's been some beatdown seasons. There's definitely been some one-sided seasons. But ultimately, what kind of happens is, like, as long as they've got one, they usually end up in the final, and then you've got them squaring off. So a lot of pressure on Team McGregor's final fighter to hopefully to take it all the way for them.
That pressure will be on Rico DeShulo, McGregor's fourth seed, and he is 11-2. He's 2-0 in Bellator, if that means anything to you guys. He'll be taking on Michael Chandler's one seed, Hunter Azier, 2-2 in the UFC, most recently lost a split decision to Jack Shore. You have to think that the experience is going to come into play. I mean, if this guy's going to split decisions with Jack Shore, but who knows?
Yeah.
Hunter's one of those guys that, honestly, I mean, not just, I don't know, I don't want to talk crap or anything, but, like, he is UFC caliber for sure. He's just not an exciting personality to you, or necessarily an exciting fighter, which is, you know, of course, what Dana wants, which I'm kind of surprised they put him on the show, to be honest, because he doesn't really have that big personality that you think you need for reality TV. But in terms of just pure fight skill, he absolutely is UFC caliber, and this is a horrible matchup, I feel, and one of the easier fights to call, predict coming into the matchups. So,
well, here's the thing:
like, unless he slips a banana pill, I just don't know.
It's Hunter's Rick. This is your second episode of Tough this season, and you have seen as much of Rico DeShulo as we have. Like, they have not showed this guy.
I laughed about that too when they at the end of the episode. I was like, "Hey, who the heck is that guy?"
It's just like, well, there's been no build towards this. It's just like, all right, here he is. He'll have his episode next week. And then Hunter Azier, I mean, we haven't really seen much of him as well. But I'm pretty excited now, despite as much as I believe Team Chandler's going to get the sweep. Like, there is always the banana peel, you know, maybe the dog mentality. McGregor gets into him. But I think it shows how worried McGregor is about the potential of it, because he already went over and asked Dana with one fight still to go.
Yeah, but what I did like seeing that. That's how what I'll say. I, you know, as I said, I checked in the beginning, and now I'm checking in mid-season. It seems like he's still fiery. He's still trying to be competitive. Obviously, the shove last week is an indicator of this. But look, he's really concerned about this competition and what's happening with these guys. He's in there working with the fighters. I like that. I like seeing Connor in that mode, and I liked hearing him talk about, like, how the other guys are inspiring him and getting him to the place that he needs to be. So it's good. I feel like the passion is there. He just needs the fighters to perform, and it's unfortunately not going his way. But I liked what I saw from Connor there. I'm sure the guys that he's got will be ready for this final fight, but that might not matter, because to Casey's point, Hunter's a pretty grindy wrestling meat and potatoes type fighter, so that's a tough style to kind of counter.
Yeah, especially in a two-round fight. Yeah, it's
There wasn't like a ton of talking points, a ton of drama from this episode. One that I did want to get into is McGregor coming into sparring and sparring with Landon Quinones and just landing like a crumpling body shot and putting him down and then just being like, fight through it. I thought that was interesting to see in a sparring match.
I mean, look, if he's trying to prepare him for war, he's trying to prepare him to go in there and fight through some adversity. So I get it. I understand it.
Landon seemed to be grateful for it. Landon was like, yeah, that's the most I've ever learned in a sparring match.
Yeah. So I've got no issue with it. I will, to your point about the drama, it did feel light on drama, and like, I'm kind of confused why. Conor McGregor just shoved Michael Chandler's face at the end of the last episode. Like, where was the conversation about that? Where was the reaction? Where was the aftermath of this? Like, I thought, okay, I'm coming on. We're going to get some great kind of fallout from Conor McGregor shoving Michael Chandler in the face. And it was like half a second interview with Chandler being like, yeah, he's passionate. Let's fight sometime later this year. We respect each other. What? Where's the drama?
That is the problem with the show. What you said right there. I mean, this, at the end of the day, this is still a reality TV show.
Yeah, we need the drama. We like these guys are cutting weight together. They're sitting in a hot tub and they're just like, yep, cool. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, let's get some shit talking going, boys. Like, y'all are about to go to war.
For sure that. At least we got Roosevelt Roberts' reaction to Connor saying, like, sometimes you love him and sometimes you want to smack him or something to that effect. But yeah, I was kind of like, I was anticipating the top of this episode to be pretty hot. Like, I was expecting some flame, some heat off the reaction to last week, but everybody seemed to be pretty cool and have moved on from it.
Another point about the drama is that Jason Knight gets the head cut, him and Timur have a clash of heads. They open up a pretty nasty cut. He's clarified to go fight. Cleared. And then Chandler sits down with Jason Knight and he's just like, here's what I want you to do. Go into the house, walk right up to Lanny Quiñones, show him the cut, and him be like, oh, thank God I'm out of the fight. And then be like, psych, doctor told me it's still on. You ain't getting that out that easy. And then they just never showed it. I was like, oh, I guess there was no drama. All right.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he just never walked in the house with that.
Well, the worst part is Jason's like, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
They do that so much on the show. They build up something and you never see any payoff or anything. They're, like, goes back to that one episode. You didn't see this, Eric, but like Bracatona was talking to the Connors coaches and stuff instead of, and so he made the whole team wait on the bus. So the guys on the bus are like, what the?
Where's Brad?
Where's Brad? Where's Brad? This sucks, man. Let's go. And then Brad's just like, hey, Connor. And then Brad then walks to the bus and the bus just leaves. It's like, what? We don't.
Here's my thought on why that's happening, just based on what I see from this episode. That cut, the moment it happened, was known to be nothing. But they're just trying to build some drama because there's literally no drama that they had to turn that cut into a storyline. And it ended up obviously being nothing. Like, it was a superficial cut on the side of his eye. That was obviously not going to be something that was going to remove him from the fight. I think they had to just dig with whatever they've got and try to figure out a way to create some drama, but that didn't look like anything that was going to be.
Listen, they did a great job with it. The like super rash camera pan and like the shaking and then him running off being like, I'm cut. I was just like, oh, what's going on? And then within, 30 seconds, we find out that nothing's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my biggest complaint. Like, just the lack of drama. Like, you watch a reality show and that's what feeds you is the drama, is like the ridiculousness of it all, being able to react to these characters. I personally do not feel like invested in any of these characters, any of the fighters on this season.
The problem with Tough over the last decade, 15 years, is they used to cast personalities. Like, when you have Nate Diaz in a house, when you've got dudes, like, it used to be characters who could also fight, and now we kind of just get fighters is what it seems like, where there's not a personality among them. All due respect, I'm sorry, to anybody who's going to take offense to that, but it used to be full of personalities and now we just got fights and fighters.
That you are correct, but also wrong, because Jason Knight has an incredible personality, but the show does not show it. You did, like, yeah. When they put Jason Knight on the show, I'm like, oh, I know why they put Jason on the show. He's a great personality. He's great interviews, great story. Just you see it. And Eric, for the first six episodes, Jason Knight was in maybe 15 seconds of it.
Just like, my kid's got a baseball tournament, and that was it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Jason Knight is super. You can just tell there's so much more to him than what we see on the show. You know, it's like, cool, he's got a family. That's great. You know, doing the Mississippi thing. Great. But there's so much more to him. And we just didn't see that. They don't call him there.
There has to be more to him. If you blame four straight losses on, like, just like going wild, like getting money, like, there's got to be more to that than meets the eye.
He fights dudes in bathrooms. He's got some stories to share.
That's what I mean. That's why I talk about Hunter Azure. I don't think there's a bunch of drama outside of the cage for him. So I was kind of surprised he's on the show. But Jason Knight made total sense. But yet they didn't seem to capitalize on it at all. So
I think
I'm confused. I'm confused on what the show wants to be. Honestly.
It's a really good point. I also think there's kind of like, so the formula is off, right? Like there, if there are personalities, they're not showing them. That's a problem, right? The production, the formula part of it is off. I also think we're now this many seasons deep, and this is a chance to get into the UFC, where early it was a chance to party and it was a chance to hang out, and it was also a chance to get in the UFC, and reality TV was newer. Now it has become kind of like, this is just a function of trying to fight and get your way into the UFC, but it inherently becomes very serious, right? It's not a chance to party and show your personality. It's really a chance to focus in. And it loses some of that element, to the dissatisfaction of the viewership. But yeah, who am I to say that there needs to be some drama if all these guys have their heads down and want to get into the UFC? I kind of get it, and it's a function of how long this has been going and what reality TV is at this point. But yeah, it doesn't make for great watching, is my perspective.
That's a fact. One other thing I want to get it into, Cody Gibson on Team Chandler. Grade one MCL tear, MCL
grade
sprain.
Two. Grade two.
Grade two. Yeah, see, all right. I actually had some confusion on that, because he was just like, I could have sworn he said grade one, and then the doctor was going over it, and he's just like, yeah, that grade two could turn into a grade three. And I was like, which one?
He was saying it was a two, and he was just saying that there's one, two, and three. And
Cody was like, wait, is one the best or worst? So when they were having that conversation, like back to what Eric said, or I think maybe Connor said, oh, I knew this is going to be a short fight, because now they're just putting the entire conversation on. how do ligaments work, doctor? Well, here you go. And he pulls the chart out.
What do you guys think? Do you think, I mean, he really has no other choice. Like, he's kind of put his whole life into this. And if he can fight, he's going to fight. He doesn't really care about the risk of making it worse.
He's going to fight. And what I really like to see there was Michael Chandler kind of talking to him. Somebody who's been through battles, who's been in this game for so long, and be able to say to him, like, look, it's not great to hear a diagnosis like that. You know, they're talking about sprains and tears. This is not great territory, but this is what we do. And, you know, you're going to go in dinged up to a lot of these fights. So are you going to stay in there or not? And kind of put the onus on him, but giving him the kind of shove in the direction of like, hey, like, this is what we go through. This is the gig, and this is what I've been doing for this many years. I think that's good perspective for somebody to have who's trying to get to that level that Michael Chandler is at. So I like that moment. I liked him giving him counsel and trying to talk him through this decision.
I liked how he was just like, yeah, they'll use sprain and fracture interchangeably. It doesn't really mean shit, dude.
Sprain,
like,
and tear, yeah. The same.
Sprain and tear interchangeably. Like, don't even worry about it.
What does a doctor know? What does a doctor
know? It's just like, doctors are always going to say it could get worse. Yeah. Like, it's just like, a thing that they do.
Yeah, they always tell you your knee's messed up. What do they know? Yeah.
But yeah, and I love how he's just like, he was kind of nudging him in the direction of just like,
oh, for sure. Fight.
And but then he's just like, it's up to you, man. It's up to you. If it was me personally, there's no question I'm fighting, but it's up to you. It's up to you.
but to put the shoe on the other foot, isn't that what you'd want? Wouldn't you want counsel from somebody who's like, this is the difference between me at the highest possible level of the sport and somebody else who might not be at the highest possible level of the sport? There's definitely some safety in the idea of like, hey, let me heal this up. Let me get right. But maybe my opportunity's gone. I want somebody who's at the level where I want to get to tell me the reality of the situation. Cause he's right. The doctor is always going to say like, hey, they'll probably stay off this for 8 weeks. Michael Chandler's coming in with a different perspective of like, yeah, the doctor is telling you that, but this is what I know from decades of being at the highest possible level it's really going to take.
And I mean, I honestly think Cody Gibson went into that doctor's office.
Yeah.
Unless the doctor was like, you cannot fight. We cannot sanction these
fights.
We're
not gonna clear it. Yeah.
Then there was no question that he was going to continue fighting. But I'm with you. Like, I liked seeing Michael Chandler, like, that side of it. So the short fight at least gave us that moment. Yeah.
I actually have a grade two tear in my knee also, and I still train if I have it too. So it's basically you just be careful with it in training. Wear a brace in training. You can't wear it during the fight. And you just kind of cross your fingers. Nothing bad happens during the fight. That's essentially what the reality is. A lot of actual fighters have they'll have tears in their knees, but you can still train. And for Cody's situation, is actually this is the best of a bad situation in the sense that you know when you're going to fight. It's not like you got three more months to sit on this bad knee. You're going to be fighting in 2 weeks or whatever. So maybe for the tough finale, it could be an issue because that's actually the only fight that there's a true fight camp for. And that's assuming he makes it to the tough finale. But for the in-house stuff, they need to fill some time. And maybe this might be some foreshadowing. You know, who knows? Although they
only
haven't done
can
that
you
yet.
Come to Tough Hang, the only place that delivers undefeated fighters with grade 2 MCL sprains. So, I mean, you're getting all the experience here. Last thing I want to get into. Today, on Tuesday, earlier this morning, Michael Chandler tweeted a Christmas tree emoji. And I'm going to assume that's in reference to potentially making this fight happen in December. Has your guys' feelings at all, and we've never gotten your feelings on it, Rick, on this fight happening this year changed?
No, not even a little bit. I never for one second thought that the countdown to the 6-month testing window has ever meant anything at all. I know there was a lot of coverage of it and counting down the days and the clock to the day it expired that it was going to be 6 months out was something that was happening. And at no point did I give it any stock or credence or care at all. The UFC is within their rights, based on how the language is worded, to waive that under certain circumstances, which is unclear what those circumstances are, but it is at their discretion, and allow somebody to have two positive tests and then have a fight. So at no point did I think that there was some clock ticking on Conor McGregor to be able to do that. So I am definitely thinking that this fight could happen by December. Now, will it is a different question. I'm not 100% sure there. I don't know. But my confidence in that has not wavered since it was booked and since this show started. It's always kind of been an up and down kind of roller coaster, and it's really on Connor's timeline. Connor is the driver of this bus, so it's really up to him. But no, I'm just as confident as I was a few months ago that this fight could happen this year.
What did he tweet? A Christmas tree?
He tweeted a Christmas tree emoji.
I believe Connor also tweeted one when he was talking about December, like a week ago. Like it was sometime during 290 fight week. He was just responding to people on Twitter. He said he's going to punish Chandler, and he said he tweeted December, and I think he tweeted a Christmas tree or something alluding to Christmas. So yeah, Chandler's on the same page with him.
A Santa Claus emoji on
that was it.
July 8th. He tweeted a Santa Claus emoji. So
could the Christmas tree thing actually be a shot at Landon? Because Landon said in the episode, I'm going to light him up like a Christmas tree.
No, I'm going to go with no, especially because,
hey man, I'm just saying
the episode hasn't even aired yet. I think it's in direct, you know, response to.
But the episode just aired, and Chandler's been sitting on it, just like just sitting in that.
The timing lends itself to him talking about a fight with Conor McGregor.
I think December's what they're going fighting. For. December 16th, T-Mobile Arena, Chandler McGregor, book it. I'm down. I think it happens this year. That's what I'm going with.
It's Connor's choice. Michael Chandler, Dana White, the UFC, everybody's just standing by waiting. They're waiting on what's actually going to happen, but it's out of their control, unfortunately. As much as Michael Chandler is trying to tweet an angle for it, he's just sitting and waiting, and it's Conor McGregor's world at this point.
All right, any final notes from this tough episode 7?
I enjoyed when Connor pulled up to the parking lot in his Lamborghini, and he actually didn't park in a parking spot. He just left it in the middle of the lot and just walked out.
They got the valet. Somebody's taking that for him.
Yeah, he just got out. I'm just going to leave this car here. That's
All right, Rick, back next week to see if Chandler gets the sweep.
I'm excited. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's go. AK, keep enjoying Japan. We will keep enjoying tough season 31, McGregor Chandler. That is for sure. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, Rico DiSciullo taking on Hunter Azier for 8-0 or 7-1. Big, big difference. Until then, stay tough. Am I right? I've been working on that tagline all year. Stay tough.
Stay tough.
Media Podcast Network.